CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
I risk my health every single night. You think anybody is going to remember that effort? Nobody remembers second place. That's why I can't lose. They know I can't lose. That's why I have to win. They know I have to win. That's why they know I have to win this match more than anything in my entire life.
You talked about what the people know. Let The Rock tell you what they know. They know that you've never before had an opponent that you couldn't overcome until The Rock.
Who will survive?
Oh, oh, WrestleMania, fighting to survive.
Just like that. Just like that.
Ah, spring, when a young fan's thoughts turn to those of WrestleMania. As we are on the final stop of the road to WrestleMania, here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, my name is Nikki Heyman. And tonight we've got another handful of the usual suspects, starting with... Let's see, who do I have here tonight? Ah, yes, somebody who unfortunately will not be joining us Sunday for the Pick'ems broadcast, Statboy Josh Henniger.
Walmart, sometimes you make me aggravated. This is the third Sunday pay-per-view I have missed.
For that, you should probably enlist our legal counsel, Ace Attorney DJ Peckins.
Be forewarned, I just polished off a piece of Civil War pie, and now I gotta go take a big show.
And to our fourth, we have fourth.
In honor of yesterday being the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania 3, the time has almost come for Cena and Rock. The days, the hours, they will reach their moment.
That's pretty deep. And of course, somewhere in the back in the booth there, our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Oh, you'll be fine. This is going to be a good show. Although I do have to start things on a proper note. I would like everyone to stand. If you are wearing a hat, please remove it. I am removing mine. I have a 10-bell salute in honor of Edge's haircut. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm sorry, guys. I saw the pictures, and it hurt. It hurt a lot. I understand that Edge has wanted to cut his hair short for probably 4 or 5 years now. I don't know if anybody remembers the blow-up online when he mentioned it.
Nikki, little do you know, but Edge superfan Terry Bay actually collected all of that hair, and it is now up on her mantle.
Damn it, DJ.
That's better than what I was going to come up with. I was going to say Edge did it on purpose so he could go play Crimson down at TNA. So they decided to show the pictures of him at Access on tonight's SmackDown, and only confirmed my fears. But you know, more power to him if he likes his hair like that. But damn it, I like Edge with long, long hair and a great big smile and sunglasses and a long coat and no shirt. And
I'm getting he looks 10 years younger though.
It doesn't look bad. It's just I guess I gotta get used to it.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Tyson Kidd with his hair.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Go ahead, Forth.
I was just going to say, I don't mind the haircut. I just wish you would have waited until after the induction.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Let's see.
Maybe he'll wear a wig.
Only if
but Undertaker already
Undertaker.
Wrecked it. But let's see. Where shall we begin? Where shall we begin? Now, Raw did not, and unfortunately, Raw tried not to disappoint, and they might have disappointed a few people with their ratings, only coming in with a 3-0, which is ballpark, you know, pretty much their ballpark, but they're usually pushing 3.5s at this point. Statboy, what happened?
Pretty much, it's kind of been that lame duck year for pro wrestling in general. Or at least in terms of ratings, because if you've seen the top rating this year, it's about a 3.3. Last year, during the worst week, it was a little bit higher at the lowest, which was about a 3.35. So it's just been, in general, down.
DJ, do you think a lack of Evil Doc or Shawn Michaels or Undertaker on this on these final shows might have caused some of this ratings dip?
Well, I don't know so much that would be the case because the shows that they were on weren't actually from the same week the year before were down. WWE officials can't really be pleased. I know they'd like to see the ratings higher, but I don't know if they're all that concerned, because I don't know if they think that the lower ratings this year as opposed to last year will translate into lower buys for WrestleMania. I don't think that'll be the case, because last year, in 2011, the ratings were down from Raw across the board from in 2010 in WrestleMania season. But in 2011... of course, they had a huge buy rate for 27, an increase from 26. So I think that WrestleMania, being the standard bearer pay-per-view, the Rock's match, and with all the added increased interest in Hell in a Cell and with CM Punk's match, I think it'll do a good buy rate, and that these Raw ratings won't matter much in the long run.
And maybe just to, and I guess in hopes to add a little bit to their ratings for it, they did this special called Once in a Lifetime, where they put together a bunch of video packages for Rock and Cena. Some stuff we've seen before, little bits and pieces of new stuff. What did you think of that?
I thought it was at least a pretty good way to sell the feud just a little bit more, because, yeah, they had 20 minutes at the end of Raw, but I felt like there needed to be more time to at least kind of build up the severity of this match. So I definitely enjoyed at least part of it.
And for the record, if anybody is since we are paying attention to the ratings, did anybody see the numbers that Once in a Lifetime actually pulled?
It was around a 1, is that correct? Like 1.05?
Actually it did better than that. It actually did a lot better than that. It actually came out, the numbers I was given was a 1.6 for the Monday broadcast.
That's not bad, but not great either.
When I started out watching it and it came out with the Once in a Lifetime title for the show, and they started off with the promos that were shown at the Royal Rumble, I didn't think Once in a Lifetime. I thought, I've seen this 3 times since the Rumble. The way that they moved into everything and kind of gave it behind the scenes and talked about their families and their past to this point, I thought it was very well done.
And just for the record, 1.6 is still better than Impact.
Shazam!
Sorry, had to be done. I found out, didn't realize when I tuned into SmackDown tonight, they actually played Once in a Lifetime just before the show started. I wonder if anything had been added. Did anybody catch the second run?
I did not.
Okay. If I had known it was going to air again, I probably would have recorded it again just for comparison purposes. since they love to tinker with their shows from one broadcast to the other, even if it's the same show.
It's also going to be on tomorrow, too, I think, at some point on one of the NBC Universal platforms.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to grab the third shot, but I just, you know, I figured they were going to tweak it between Raw and SmackDown.
Actually, Nikki, I think it's been on, I think they're showing it across all their channels. I think it's scheduled to air at least 15 times this week.
Actually the number is 11.
11, okay.
Yeah. And I'm not going to torture my DVR like that. Let's see. Since we are on the topic of Rock and Cena, their face-off on Monday was supposed to end in physicality, although admittedly, I'm going to give Cena the verbal victory.
Yeah.
Specifically on his line that he was still there, even when wrestling wasn't so popular in, I'm guessing he's talking 2003, 2004, 2000, no, he can't be saying that, probably 2006 and 2007. Anybody got a pinpoint on this?
I got the 2007 vibe from him too.
Well, I didn't get what he was saying because I guess if it were me and I was in that position of standing in the Rock shoes facing off with Cena and he said I was here when wrestling wasn't so popular, well, I would come back with, well, maybe the reason why it wasn't so popular instead of maybe you were the reason why it wasn't so popular and you were turning away a lot of the smart fans because they didn't want to see Cena overcome the odds every week. They didn't want to see Superman Cena be victorious at the end of every main event. So that was my thought, but
which Cena would have snapped back with saying, you know, like you would have saved it, but you were too busy. You were too busy traipsing around with, you know. Being a special effect in a movie. So, I saw Cena's point. I mean, Cena gets it that he, you know, he's not going to be the most popular guy. But what the smart community has got to understand is that if you hate him so much, you're still reacting to him, which means he ain't going anywhere.
I've always thought WWE sort of missed the boat on the John Cena character. I actually personally like John Cena the guy, and I like what he stands for and what he means to the company. I just don't like the way he's booked or the way that he's presented. You know, they even missed the boat when they came out with the I Hate Cena t-shirts. The people that boo Cena, I don't really think that they actually hate him. You know, John Cena the person, or hate maybe even his character. They just hate the way that he's booked.
That may very well be. I just, you know, I find it amusing that, you know, that there are haters that would actually buy that shirt.
Because, I mean, I find myself watching the end of the Raw segment on the go-home show on Monday, and I watched the Once in a Lifetime, and I'm like, man, I really want to root for John Cena. You know, he's just a likable guy. But it's just, I've been conditioned over all these years to kind of the way he's been booked and the way it's kind of ingrained in me not to root for him. I mean, in a perfect world, he would be a Rock or a Stone Cold, a guy that who is at the top that everybody really can, every fan gets behind in some way, shape, or form.
Statboy, what do you know, you got any thoughts on this?
Not really, to be honest. It's been kind of, I don't believe I'm saying this, it's just been kind of droll this entire thing. The whole build around it and all that. Possibly because of the whole year-long thing. That was probably way, way, way too much. If they started sowing the seeds at Survivor Series instead of sowing the seeds the night after WrestleMania, I probably would still be invested in this match. Now, I'm not really. And that sucks.
And you know what's going to make this very – this is going to be sad, too, because they're actually thinking about pulling this stunt again.
Mm-hmm.
The night after Mania, Raw is going to try to set up a WrestleMania 29 main event. There's all kinds of crazy rumors of what this could be. It could be Punk Austin. It could be It could be, something regarding The Undertaker. It could have something to do with some of the visitors in Miami.
And as soon as I heard one particular name, I thought to myself, okay, now I know who's going to be, who they're setting this up for.
So, yeah, one of those people could be...
Pause for dramatic effect.
Brock Lesnar.
With or without your dear old Uncle Paul?
Probably without, because I don't believe my dear Uncle Paul wants to work for Vince again. And to be honest, if he even had any minor interest in wrestling, he would have been doing something by now. It's been almost 6 years.
Ah.
But I will say that Brock did get off the plane with Sable, so substitute for Maria Menounos? No way.
Perhaps.
Just putting the thought out there, since the... Hostess from Extra has broken ribs. Mm-hmm. I wish I could blame Beth Phoenix.
Yeah. Instead, we can blame Derek Huff.
it just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah.
You can always fly Kid Rock in for a segment, or two, or three, or four songs.
No. I don't think that's going to happen again, because what he did last time just wasn't all that kosher.
What's the word I'm looking for? There it is. Bullshit!
Flo Rida is supposed to perform two songs at WrestleMania.
And you may have found...
And then is he supposed to potato someone afterwards?
Maybe. What's his name who's supposed to be playing Cena in?
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. Before Florida walks off the stage, he's gonna walk up to MGK and punch his lights out and see how long he lasts.
And there is the new meaning to the term Florida. Bad puns everywhere.
It's not right.
But it's okay.
Let's see. It's rare that we come up this close to a WrestleMania and that they, usually they're throwing some last minute matches into all this. Actually, they were still trying to put one together in the case of the Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. Christian, who was a popular pick for Team Johnny, was punked, for lack of a better term.
That bastard.
Don't make me come over there. Don't make me come over there. And again, I have a better idea. I am just going to insult you at range. Take that.
Your daddy's an alcoholic.
Anyway.
Honestly, it would explain some of his behavior.
Anywho. So, actually, it was just the fact that Christian's ankle is still not 100%, so they just needed an angle to get him out of there. So, Punk tied him in a knot, and they carried him away. And from there, Team Johnny got Drew McIntyre, and how many people laughed at Johnny Clown Shoes suggesting that Miz should have been on Team Teddy?
I can definitely think someone across the Atlantic had ears perking for the next Botchamania.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually hoping that would come to fruition, that he would have been booked at a match again on Monday and that he would have lost again. He would have been so frustrated that he would actually turn face and become the sixth member of Team Teddy. But I guess that was wishful thinking on my part.
Well, we thought... I actually had a thought that they were going to save the face turn for the middle of that tag match where Miz just turns on Team Johnny. But those hopes were dashed because somebody did the audio editing on the Friday video package. And they actually did a good job of it, Carl. So, that's
Has anybody ever seen, it's kind of like Botchamania, but not really. It's like things they don't want you to see. And they had
Trimoon, yes.
Yeah, and they do like the, what I think it's called a wild line. Is that the correct terminology?
The yes. Women's Grapey Bowl match.
Yeah, that's it.
WWE Women's Championship.
Michael Cole is absolutely apoplectic every time he does that. And Lawler, too.
I love when they do the impression of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are floating around, but they didn't have to do a wild line on this. They just had to cut the little flub out of there, and they actually did a very good job of it. It wasn't as blatant as, say, Michelle McCool's from a year and a half ago. There was another one fairly recently, and it's not coming to me, but.
Was it Undertaker's where he said April 21st?
No. In fact, not only did they not bother correcting him, nobody in the back gave him hell about it because he would have just taped his fists and told them exactly what to do with it. You know, you can't, you don't do that to the Undertaker.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Okay, if they don't stop a match for him hard way bleeding, I don't think anyone is going to correct him on a simple word.
Bingo. And DJ, just remember, I was going to just say, DJ, just remember, when he said April 21st, he had UFC on his mind.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I was going to say, Forth brought up a point that I wanted to touch on since he brought it up, is blood and Hell in a Cell and WrestleMania this Sunday. Does anybody think we're going to see blood in the match? Because we saw an unprotected chair shot last year between these two. I mean, they basically can't. They're even though that they said that they got fined, those are two guys that can break the rules and kind of get away with it with a slap on the wrist, don't you think?
If I'll be surprised if there's no blood in this Hell in a Cell, because we've got two guys who have broken the Muta meter on separate occasions, and a referee who isn't afraid to bleed either. Go ahead, Forth.
I was just going to say, I can't remember their name on the fan board, but someone said, if this match has no blood, then it's safe to assume that during the PG era, we're never going to see blood.
Yeah, right. I honestly think we are going to get some blood out of this match. I can't, you know, if they want it to be this epic and they're going to be in a Hell in a Cell, and depending on Taker's mobility, I have a feeling we're going to see a little bit of blood. We're not going to see No Mercy 02 levels of blood.
Or Bad Blood 2003, Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
2004,
excuse
me. And I started to bring up, was it Judgment Day with Eddie? When
Judgment Day 05. Judgment Day 05, I believe.
And I was legitimately concerned that he had something he shouldn't have.
Well, it's my understanding that when he bladed, he meant it. I mean, he actually hit a knife somewhere and practically scalped himself.
Jeez.
So, ew. It's not going to be that bad, but I do anticipate some blood. I can't see them not doing it. Those three, first of all have the pull to do it. We've got two Click members and a guy who's been there longer than anybody else on the roster right now, active roster. So you can't tell me they're not going to bleed. They're not going to bleed. Let's see. What else have we got going with Mania? Actually, a peek into the night before. I'm not sure who paid who or who said what, but Ric Flair is actually going to be present for the Four Horsemen induction at the Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he already present for something? The press conference?
I missed the press conference myself. I know about the.
Yeah, he wasn't there, but a guy who looked suspiciously like him was.
Okay.
And it was freaky when CM Punk came out and started doing the Four Horsemen poses with him.
Can't be any worse than the story that a story that I was told that apparently a man proposed to his fiance in front of CM Punk, and Punk just looked at this and called attention to everybody. Hey, we got a proposal over here.
Yeah, that's one. That one's on YouTube. Go find it.
I'm surprised. Well, no. No, if that was the case, Punk would have just stole her away. Anyway, what other goodness do we have on here? Oh, yes. Throw another thing out there. Speaking of CM Punk, I want you guys to picture this poor guy stuck in the back of a classroom with the rest of the roster while they're being instructed on how to use Twitter.
Well, we know there's only one person that can ever say, my account got hacked, and he's not even in the company.
And I still don't, I don't believe him either. But yeah,
I think I know why they would do this at this point of time. Mainly because they're getting into WrestleMania itself. Apparently, there's been a few people, so to speak, or not a few people, but there has been pictures floating out there stating, hey, you should only use this for this time. Say, for instance, the Hall of Fame tag, or the WWE HOF hashtag, or all of that. That is what I believe it was for. Day after WrestleMania, it goes back to normal. No problem, pretty much.
Okay. I just, you know.
Hey, as long as, as long as The Miz keeps retweeting pictures of Maurice on the beach, I don't care what else they do.
And unfortunately, like I said, I just see Punk bored out of his mind in the back of the classroom, and then when somebody finally calls on him.
Can't hear you. I'm asleep. Shoo. Shoo.
So, I was just amused. Just the thought of, just the image of this. Like I said, I could just see him in the back of the classroom, just being bored out of his mind.
I think one of his tweets from during the meeting was, "I have to pee," which I thought was pretty funny.
I think one of them was, I'm in a hashtag meeting about hashtag how to use Twitter. Hashtag
business has changed.
Yeah. And I was like, I wonder if hashtag is filling in another blank.
Vince McMahon is so out of touch, he tried to order a hashtag at Waffle House.
Oh.
Between this meeting and the fact that the recent TNA pay-per-view had them obsessed with Twitter, it has gone too far. It really has.
It is getting, I'll agree, it is getting a little silly. And so, you know, whoever's in their social media department, you know, kudos for getting it off the ground. But, dude, quit overshadowing the show. The damn Twitter bird's getting more screen time than most of the wrestlers.
Well, it's no coincidence that everyone's favorite wrestling social media guy, Dave Lagana, took over allegedly creative for TNA, and all of a sudden they start coming out with the social media embedded into their production. But if I remember correctly, Lagana was kind of like, well, WWE's gone overboard and their Twitter obsession kind of detracts from it. So I thought if he was going to do anything, it would be more subtle than that. So maybe it's somebody kind of ribbing Lagana, even though while he's working on creative, I have no idea.
Well, they had to fix it because they would put out questions, and then they'd have to come up with a bunch of fake accounts to put real answers on it because they would get spammed with all kinds of crazy crap. Nothing that they could actually put on TV. Go ahead, Forth.
I was going to say one of my favorite related things is on one Botchamania, when Borash was bragging about Victory Road being the number one trend in Britain, it said, there's no legal way to watch a TNA pay-per-view in Britain on the bottom of the screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that This is kind of unrelated to wrestling, but kind of related to the Twitter talk, is when Turner Family of Networks and CBS had their March Madness broadcast. If you use the hashtag March Madness just in any tweet, you could have anything on there. There was nobody that was really monitoring them, and you could just put any old comment up there, Twitter comment, and then use the hashtag March Madness, and it would show up on TV.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Anything good? Did anything good get on the air?
I guess they did have somebody monitoring for – maybe there was a filter that took away obscene words or phrases, but there was just random stuff up there. Some guy took notice of it and ended up doing that, so he was just tweeting random things and putting hashtag March Madness, and they, sure enough, they showed up on television, which was cool.
That's beautiful. That is just absolutely beautiful.
So I'm hoping for that in our wrestling programs.
Yes.
I think WWE is a little bit better about monitoring that. Then again, they're smart and they're not putting actual tweets up somewhere. Short of, you know, their little social thing that they've got running on the website, which, no, you know, anybody can put anything.
Do my wrestling radio show.
Although if there was a way to just retweet audio, I'd like to retweet one line from SmackDown tonight, where King completely shut Cole down. They were talking about the sound booth at Access, and one of the guys, there was somebody in there that was actually trying to sing Cena's song, and then Cole tries to sing Cena's song. And I forget exactly how it was phrased, but King essentially said something along the lines of, the audience wants to slit your throat. And I said, King, I'm glad you finally are reading my tweets. If there was one good reason to watch SmackDown tonight, it was the fact that they had Josh Matthews and Matt Stryker at the announce table.
Yes, nope. And I agree that, and they gave decent time to Jericho and Kofi.
And that was a pretty solid match, and you know, we already knew the outcome, but it was still a very good match. Yeah, there was not, you know, this week's SmackDown, there was no real substance to it, but we're starting to expect that as we go into, you know, as we go into WrestleMania week. Besides, they're everywhere otherwise, right?
Yep.
So let's see. Speaking of Jericho, word on the wind is that he's gone ahead and got a contract extension, so he might be around for a while. This is very tantalizing to me. That means we might get more Jericho Punk after Mania.
Of course, now, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm hoping that this also would result in Punk getting a little more offense in on the mic.
It's true, since he can, you know, since I can't talk. I can't think of too many people that are able to match him on the mic.
Nikki, I'm glad you brought up that he purportedly signed a contract extension, because at the point when the feud started and it was all about him being a copycat and a wannabe and who is truly the best in the world, I kind of thought that would be the central focus of this feud, much like Rock Cena is. I'm the one that's here every day and you're the one that's in Hollywood making movies. Then they came out with the whole alcoholic thing, and your father's an alcoholic, and your sister is this, and you are a bastard. And I kind of thought like that would be the angle for the return match at Extreme Rules or whatever the pay per view is that follows WrestleMania. And I thought, oh wow, they're cramming this angle in with the best in the world angle, so we're probably not going to see anything after WrestleMania. So the fact that he did sign
a contract extension is heartening for sure, because that means we do get to see them hopefully post this Sunday.
I just, you know, I'm happy that Jericho's sticking around, and even if it's, you know, definitely for the for more on this Punk and Jericho feud, because I really think that this is one feud that I want to see go past one match. I would like to see it go a couple of matches. No, I don't want it to stretch all the way to SummerSlam, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. I you know, twist my arm, Punk. CM Punk and Chris Jericho in the ring at the same time and give them 20 minutes.
If not for the only reason that right now this is the third, basically the third highest match on the card, behind, of course, the End of an Era and Roxina. But if we have the next pay-per-view, arguably it will be the main event. It will be the main focus of the show and of the Raw shows that lead into it. So, yes, we will be talking more about Chris Jericho.
Definitely, definitely.
We're not talking about him enough. Talk more about Chris Jericho.
we are, champ. Talk about him more! I want to talk about Wade Barrett, damn it. But I can't, because there's nothing to talk about, but that he's still laid up. See? Sony broke his fucking arm! Anyway. Oh, you weren't here for that, DJ. I sadly had to see that live.
Yes, I did see your report.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Give me a second, gentlemen.
And I don't have anything today.
No, you're fine, And Brian Henniger's already pointing and laughing at you.
Yeah.
Let's see. This email is apparently an errant email. It is not from the GM was trying to order a vegan pizza.
Uh-oh.
Dude, this is not the pizza parlor in Chicago. Give me a second. Okay. Another email here. If anybody's noticed, if Big Show actually beats Cody on Sunday, he will have held all of the titles available to male wrestlers in the WWE. Has he been European champion?
I don't think he has.
And I know he was. Go ahead.
Has he been internet champion?
No, there's only been one internet champion. Let's see. But a lot of people are betting that Cody is still going to walk away with this, because Show will be more than happy to put him over, probably over the top rope. Our GM is a doofus. Let's see. The GM also says, don't forget that you had noticed that Jomo himself is a doofus. Yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that in a minute. But you can't talk about that right now. Damn it. Because, gentlemen, we gotta stop and sell some soap. So, more NAWC coming up in just a couple of minutes. Gentlemen, sit back and relax.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 network.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It was actually going to be a very boring show this week, but wait.
How you doing tonight, Al? Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN jewel.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez. Mute Mama Seidelman.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap.
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Carl? Anyway.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
Stop.
One more time.
Look, it's time. Oh my, the mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The noodles. Chris likes you, Benoodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes, don't fight.
Good girl.
Don't fight.
Let's talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know.
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, Justin. Mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is gonna be like a good championship boxing match. You're not gonna see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are gonna be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
This is Ethan Muslin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
We're back with more of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we still have our full table here with DJ and Statboy and Forth. Let's see. Before we went to the break, I was informed by the GM, which came as no surprise, that John Morrison is a doofus.
Hey, somebody's got to take over for Kurt Angle, that's for sure.
Well, Kurt Angle being stuck on the shelf with a hamstring injury, yeah. So Jomo decided to play his own little social media game and put together this wonderful and sadly spot-on rap video about Undertaker versus Triple H. Now, please tell me somebody here has seen this.
Yes. I was the one who posted it on there, if memory serves.
Oh, you're the one who posted it on the fan
boards.
It's
either me or, not on the fan boards, but on our page on Facebook.
Okay. And just the everything from the goofy wig to the gag nose to the voice impersonations to whoever it was behind him as Paul Bearer. Oh, my goodness.
Why would it not shock me if it's Colt Cabana, Buddy in Arms, Marty DeRosa from Creative Has Nothing For You?
It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not sure who it was. But whoever it was did a brilliant, brilliant impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
And actually really started adding to the video as it progressed. And it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to get Jomo his job back by SummerSlam, or I don't know. How thin skin are Undertaker and Triple H when it comes to this kind of parody?
Well, I think we know how Trips feels.
Do you think he would be that mean and just not let somebody come back because they made fun of his nose?
I don't know if he'd necessarily.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yeah, he would.
I was going to say he probably would let him back, but if they were to go head to head, someone's going to be his personal jobber.
Well, who played Triple H with the fake nose in the Nation of Domination skits?
One Jason Sensation.
Mm-hmm. And Edge did the gag nose for the DX parody with in Rated RKO.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think Hunter wouldn't do anything about it, and Taker, he doesn't have a job. So you know, Jomo doesn't have a job. He don't care.
Taker might not be around either. So
that's true. It's all going to depend on how all this shakes out. Let's see. As I said, I was going to touch on some TNA news. As I had gone over briefly, Angle is laid up with a hamstring injury. So just in time to fill in that spot would be one Chris Sabin, who's been on the shelf for, I believe, over a year with knee issues.
And all I can say is, hail Sabin, welcome back.
Yay! I might actually start watching TNA for that.
I'm just glad it's both guns coming back.
That's true. That's very true. I just, you know, Sabin was one of the reasons I was very interested in TNA back in 06 and 07. I really enjoyed watching him in person in Bound for Glory. Go ahead.
Hasn't it been true that when one is healthy, the other one is hurt, and vice versa for a long time now?
That's how it seems. I mean, I know Shelley was down for a bit, and then Sabin, you know, Sabin had gone down with the bad knee injury, and it just, these guys couldn't catch a break. And unfortunately, they only seem to shine when they're together. So it's, you know, it's just something to keep an eye out on. Let's see. Yes. Programming note. Anybody who is available, and you can just cover your ears, Stat Boy, because you already know what I'm about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday. The North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net, is going to have a little Pick'ems extravaganza. We are going to do it live. You heard me. Live. 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to settle in and do some pick-ems. Now, Statboy, you had the chart. How do we do this?
All right. Quite simple. You'll be going to, well, the website that we've talked about earlier. I don't know the name offhand.
Okay, Mike.
And we'll be going over every single match. All 8 matches. The wild card. And then also, there's going to be a multi-pointer in there for the 12-man cluster schmoz.
So, anybody who happens to catch this podcast and hears this news, please feel free to listen in. We will have more information. We'll have more information out there by Saturday. Don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's going to do. Given that all this stuff is already out there in the news, I don't think we have too much else to talk about, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Anyone?
Bueller?
I'll go ahead real quick and plug my Twitter, if that's okay, because I need some followers. I'm in dire need of followers. So you can follow me at twitter.com/TheRock, all one word. And I'd greatly appreciate your follows.
You dweeb.
Boo! Anyway. Nice try, DJ.
Trending worldwide.
Statboy, do you have anything to plug?
I actually do, and it's something that just came back today on the CLW83 network. The season 2 premiere of Tales of the Old Grand Purple Box. Myself and SNES Master cover a kind of weird oddball game for the Super Nintendo known as Kid Clown in Crazy Chase. Next week is going to be Boring as Shit, but the week after, or the episode we're going to be recording here this coming week, is a gargantuan anniversary game. I'll leave it at that.
Forrest, do you have anything to plug?
Just one more Botchamania-based plug, and that is that they're doing WrestleMania Mania, which is basically a Botchamania of different WrestleMania moments with classic entrance music as the background music.
I'll have to look into that. I'm going to do somebody a favor and do some plugging for them. Justin Henry runs a wonderful little blog page at bluebarcage.blogspot.com. He's done his WrestleMania write-up of the 50 greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. I think his order's a little off, but take a look at it. The man is very unbiased. Mm-hmm. And even includes a few matches that some people might not include for various reasons. So I think we've all put up enough with each other for this week. So we will be doing this again next Friday. Actually, we'll be doing some of this on Sunday. So for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, Ace Attorney DJ Peckins, and our fourth known as Fourth, this is Nikki Heyman saying, happy WrestleMania weekend, everybody, and anybody who can join us on Sunday, please come by. Thank you.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.